the guru of business, your host, Shalom Klein.
We are all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship and business. We talk a lot about business here. You're on with Get Down to Business, and I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always download podcasts from Get Down to Business on my website at shalomklein.com. And while you are there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Shalom Klein. It's going to be a jam-packed week of content and information you will not want to miss. It's a live show. That's right. You could call us here in studio at 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. And we are joined by a full studio of fantastic guests. First up on the program, I've got my friend Mike Lawson here, who has written the book. And Mike, I'm thrilled to be the first to bring it out to our listening audience. Mike, thanks so much for making the trip out here to the beautiful WIND studios in Elk Grove Village. Tell us a little bit about the book and a little bit about your background.
Shalom, thank you first for having me on the show. My background in business was accounting, and then I went into sales, started a chemical business, and ended up selling that a number of years into it. And through that journey, I always thought about writing a book. I thought it might be on business. Instead, it's on life. And the title of the book's Getting Off the Treadmill, Escaping the Race to Nowhere. And I wrote this from my standpoint because I see a lot of people on the treadmill of life. We all spend time on the treadmill. Hopefully we spend less time on it after we read the book.
It's interesting, Mike. You and I have had a few conversations, and I actually had the good fortune of getting a sneak peek of the book before I actually traveled out of town on business. So typically on planes, I have a good opportunity to slow down, pardon the metaphor over here, but slow down and actually read. And it really is a fantastic read for all of our listeners, but more about that in a moment for how our listeners can find it. Mike, you had, as you implied a moment ago, an interesting career. Tell us a little bit about some of the people that have inspired you and what they have inspired you with. What are some of the lessons that you know now that perhaps going into your career you wish you would have known?
Well, I was fortunate. Before I started my career in college, I had a baseball coach, George Thomas, and George was just an incredibly positive person. It really was. And so I learned to deal with adversity of baseball because it's a game of kind of failure in many respects. My dad was a blue-collar guy, a lather, which is lath and plaster, like carpentry. And my dad loved his work, and he was passionate about his work. And so I saw how good tired my dad was at the end of each day. It's part of the book, Good Tired. So dad was an inspiration to me. My mother really knew how to pay attention. My mom was a voracious reader, and she taught me the power of presence.
So positivity, presence, which I think is an important word that you talk a lot about in the book. There's clearly a lot of people that have inspired you. Do you have any regrets? Do you think that you would have done things differently in your busy, and again, I don't use that word lightly, your busy career? Do you have any regrets?
You know, regrets are a word, I think, where you look in the rearview mirror. And could you have done some things different? Yes, but you got to learn from it. And then through learning, you do it differently. So I don't have any significant regrets in my life. I'm very fortunate for that.
So young entrepreneur that's out there that might be listening to this program, they have the fantastic business idea, and they are all gung-ho. They want to make things happen. They're willing to work 22 hours a day, you know, work around the clock, do whatever it takes. That's great. That energy is fantastic. What's the lesson of get off the treadmill? What can you tell them?
Well, I always think of balance in life. You have 168 hours in a week, period. And so if you have a family, depending upon when you're deciding to start a business, lean on folks that have done it. Get counsel from people who haven't done it, all walks of life. Be a ready student. My favorite quote is, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
We are we're chatting with the author of a fantastic new book, Get Off the Treadmill, learning some interesting lessons about The folks that have inspired you, Mike, and as well as the lessons they've learned along the way. You just mentioned relationships and having a center of influence, perhaps a mentor. How important has that been to you in all of your different professional pursuits?
Well, mentors, coaches, sometimes they're synonymous, sometimes they're not. I have been more than fortunate from the time when I was young through college, in business, from colleagues. It's really countless. I was in a group called Vistage. It used to be called Tech. It was a peer group of business owners. And my chair met with me for years, once a month. My peers in the group were great mentors. I think you can find mentors young and old. You just have to be ready for it.
Interesting. So what, tell us, walk us through the process of writing the book. Was it hard to, you've learned a lot of things over time. Was it hard to sort of collect all those thoughts and put them down on paper? Because you did a fantastic job of it. But tell us a little bit about the experience and how it came together, how long it took.
2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
That's the short answer. I got started with indie publishing, and Henry DeVries told me, just write your thoughts. Write them for 30 days and send them to me. And then we chatted about them, and he said, okay, write some more thoughts. And then 60 days later, he said, I think we can start working on a title, and let's start working on chapter titles because I think you've given me a lot of them. And frankly, I was quite astounded from that. Now, I did do a lot of writing, but it was just a jumbling of thoughts. From then on, it was really creating the structure of the chapters because I'm a huge baseball fan. There's 9 chapters, like 9 innings in a game. So the process was cathartic, and it was, in many respects, many moments where I felt something bigger was happening to me. Call them God moments, call them thin places, as I discuss in the book. Frankly, it was a wonderful experience. It was hard, and it's wonderful to have the book released now.
I'm sure there was a big celebration in your house when you wrapped up that process and it actually started going to print. So speaking of going to print, again, I had the good fortune of taking a peek over the past weekend of the book. I did not finish yet, Mike, but I am looking forward to continuing what is truly a fantastic read. Our listeners are surely listening with the. With eagerness to figure out where they can get their copy. Mike, clue us in.
Well, it's available on Amazon, which is great. The electronic format will be out in about 2 weeks.
Again, get off the treadmill.
Yep, getting off the treadmill, escaping the race to nowhere. So if you Google going to Amazon and you find that, if you Google me, Mike Lawson, spelled a little funky, Lausen, you'll also see a little video. So it's available in will be available in all electronic versions probably in the next days, but right now it's in paperback. Hardcover will be available in about a week.
That's fantastic. So clearly there's 9 chapters, which now we understand the reason for it. Again, 9 innings of baseball, although you wouldn't know that from watching the Chicago Cubs. But so that said, you squeezed your thoughts into those 9 chapters. Will there be a forthcoming volume?
I've been asked that. I've got a lot of work to do. My goal really is to do a lot of professional speaking with this book because I think it lends itself to a keynote as well as a workshop because
Absolutely.
Of the tools in it. I have thought of what's next now that you're off the treadmill, but I'm also a movie buff. So my wife gave me a fantastic title that I can't repeat because it's too long about the wisdom of movies. So there will be another book, but I don't know when it'll be.
Okay, well, Mike Lawson, again, the author of a fantastic book, Getting Off the Treadmill. You could check it out on Amazon. Purchase a copy of the book. I highly recommend to all of our listeners that you do it. Lots of great lessons, lots of interesting metaphors, and some great inspiration from a man who has had a very, very interesting career and has learned quite a few lessons. Highly recommend the book, Getting Off the Treadmill. Check it out on Amazon. But Mike, you just mentioned something that you are looking to do, some speaking, perhaps to some business groups. Mm-hmm. How can our listeners contact you if they want to discuss some of those opportunities?
Well, I think the easiest way is just do it electronically, mlawson, Lausen, @gmail.com. You can also do it with the URL, which is, of course, www.gettingoffthetreadmill.com, of course. I also have something as a link with Mike Lawson So there's a lot of ways to get a hold of me.
Fantastic. Well, Mike Lawson, thank you so much for joining us here in studio. We are running out of time, but momentarily we will be joined by an executive from a fantastic, innovative company called Sound World Solutions. They are changing the way hearing aids work, and indeed, that's what we like to profile here on the show, all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. We love to spotlight folks that are making a difference, like Mike Lawson, as well as talk about innovative solutions, innovative companies. Listen, get down to business. We are powered by our good friends at Tandem HR, your solution center. You can find them online, tandemhr.com, brand new website, by the way, or give them a call, 630-928-0510, 630-928-0510. Of course, you can download podcasts from our show at shalomkline.com. We'll be right back. Back on the show, all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. You're listening to Get Down to Business, and I'm your host, Shalom Klein. As promised, I'm thrilled to be joined by my good friend, Sean Stammer, from Sound World Solutions, an innovative company featuring an innovative solution to a problem that probably most of us have friends, family, neighbors that suffer from. Yes, it is indeed hearing loss. Sean, welcome to Get Down to Business.
Thanks, Shalom. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. So, Sean, Sound World is, as we'll discuss over the next few minutes, you have a very interesting story behind the company, very interesting story behind the solution. Let's talk about the founding of the Sound World solution. If you don't mind, share the story with our listeners.
Sure. Yeah, the company is co-founded by two different gentlemen. One of them, our CEO, is a gentleman named Stavros Bisseas, who came out of the traditional hearing aid industry and was the chief technologist and head of R&D for several of the largest hearing aid companies in the world for several decades. And during that span, spent a lot of time working within the industry and within the company to convince folks that they needed to find a way to do these hearing aids in a way that was more affordable and more accessible and easier to use, and found that that just wasn't happening and wasn't likely to happen from within for a whole host of reasons. So he left that company and decided he needed to do something on his own. At the same time, the other co-founder is a gentleman named David Green, who's a social entrepreneur. So most of his background is working in far parts of the world, and India in particular, but Southeast Asia and Asia and Africa, helping folks deliver health services to those who are typically not served by the traditional infrastructure. And so David had done a lot of work in vision care, but as an individual, he has hearing loss and was shifting over to figure out how to address the enormous issue of hearing loss. And as part of the path of figuring that out, he got connected to Stavros, and the two of them decided that the combination of Stavros' technological savvy and David's background work in sort of the social mission, social entrepreneurship space made a pretty good combination to make a real difference.
So, Sean, before we talk about the solution, let's talk about the problem as a whole. Hearing aids, or hearing loss, rather. How many people are affected by it?
Well, if we look at the numbers worldwide, it's more than 600 million have what's referred to as disabling hearing loss. That's according to the World Health Organization. And if you add in those with some more, you know, moderate to severe, enough to impact their life, you're probably talking about 1 billion people around the world that have this issue that they're dealing with.
So we all know somebody that's dealing with this issue, as you mentioned, and certainly there's a need that exists. But Sean, it's rather costly. Before our friend Stavros and David came along, the hearing aid solution is not accessible to many people. Let's talk about the cost of hearing aids. Typically, what are we dealing with?
Well, here in the U.S. Is probably the easiest frame of reference. So the average hearing cost for an individual is about $2,500. That's $2,500 per ear. And most people need a pair, need two of them. So you're talking about $5,000. It's not covered by Medicare, and it's typically not covered by insurance. So for most individuals, that's $5,000 as an out-of-pocket expense.
And that's aside for the fact that in many parts, even in our country, there might not be an audiologist even in parts of southern central Illinois, and that's that's pretty common. So certainly it's affecting, as you know, Sean, I'm very passionate about people working, and it's affecting people's livelihood, their professional career. It's certainly something we could be doing better at. So Sound World, company based in Park Ridge, a blend of a individual, a leader in the audiology and hearing space, combined with social entrepreneurship, comes a fantastic solution. Let's talk about the Sound World solution. How are you bringing that cost down and making hearing aids more accessible to folks in this country and around the world?
Well, there's a couple of key components. The first element is that it's a complete system. So it's not just a more affordable device. It's an overall system that replaces a lot of the traditional infrastructure. So for those who've gone in and had their hearing tested at some point, you're usually familiar with going into a quiet room and having a computer that's special hooked up and a whole series of special cables. And all of that adds up to about a $35,000 cost just for the space. Our solution is based around a Bluetooth chip as the sort of the brains of the unit, and so it's able to connect to your smartphone or your tablet, and you don't need all of the rest of that infrastructure. So that allows us to use a smartphone with an app that we've developed that's free, pair it with the device, and that lets you screen the hearing, program the device, fine-tune the device, physically adjust it, all in the matter of 5 to 10 minutes. So tremendous advantage both from the cost standpoint and also from the effort standpoint as well.
Tremendous advantage. You're bringing this around the country. You're developing partnerships, but there's actually two different solutions. Let's talk about it. Is the product approved by the FDA? Is it approved as a hearing aid? What about somebody that might not actually have the diagnosis? Let's talk about the different options that are available.
Sure. There's two different versions of the product available. One is a hearing aid that's, actually approved by the FDA as a hearing aid, registered that way. And then we've also got a couple of products that are known as personal sound amplification products. So that's a category that the FDA created back in 2009, if I recall correctly. Been around for a little while, and it's just a way to describe a different set of products that are very similar technologically, but are marketed differently. So the personal sound amplification products are a consumer device. They don't need to be sent through the medical professional. You can buy them online or over the counter at retail locations, etc. Still perform a lot of the same functions, but just sort of marketed differently and used different channels to get to them.
Absolutely incredible. So if our listeners are tuned in and they would like to learn more about the product, B, perhaps can benefit from one of the devices, or C, perhaps most importantly, have a way to help bring the Sound World solution into a community, into a hospital or something like that, how can they learn more?
Well, the best way is our website, and that's www.soundworldsolutions.com. And there you can learn more about us and our mission, the different products that we offer. We do sell direct online, so if they or one of their loved ones thinks this is a solution that works for them, and we didn't get to it, but our solutions are a lot more affordable. Our price for the hearing aid is $449 for one, $735 for a pair. And the personal sound amplifier products are $399 for one and $635 for the pair. So a dramatic decrease over what the traditional solutions are. And you can find all that at the website, again, www.soundworldsolutions.com. And we also have a toll-free number that's 855-792-0117.
So dramatically less cost, great technology, bringing this to places that otherwise may not be able to access the traditional options, sounds like a winner. And it is fantastic that, again, Chicagoland based company. So I certainly encourage our listeners to check out the website, soundworldsolutions.com. And one more time, if our listeners did not jot that phone number down, Sean, do you mind repeating it one more time?
Yeah, sure. Toll free. It's 855-792-0117.
Sean, I wish you and the team the best of luck, and I've had the good fortune of getting to know you guys, and I just think it's a fantastic, fantastic mission. And we all know somebody. You mentioned that staggering statistic of how many people are impacted by this, and certainly something that all of us can do, whether we need the product. Need the solution, I like to call it the solution, ourselves, or we have a loved one, we certainly know somebody and we certainly can help spread the word. So I encourage all of our listeners, check it out, Sound World Solutions, and be attuned, no pun intended, to the need that exists, and please help spread the word, soundworldsolutions.com. Thank you, Sean, for joining us on the program.
Thanks, Shalom. It's great for you to share the message, and yeah, we've loved having the chance to get to know you as well, and look forward to more.
Absolutely. We'll be sure to follow the story of Sound World Solutions. But speaking of stories, I've got an interesting story of a very, very interesting woman, and she'll be joining us after this break. Carly Johnson joins us here in studio, here on Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. As promised, a fantastic story on the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. You can download podcasts from this program on my website, shalomkline.com. Follow me on Twitter. We'll be right back after this quick break. What a fantastic lineup of guests this week on Get Down to Business. As promised, I'm thrilled to be joined here in studio by Carly Johnson, who, Carly, you have a very interesting personal story that you've been speaking out about. Carly, tell us a little bit about what you are so passionate about and what I'm so proud to have you here in studio to talk about.
Thanks for having me. So when I meet people for the first time, everyone always wants to know, what do you do? And so when I tell them I'm a speaker and an educator, they want to know, okay, great, what on? And so sometimes it gets a little awkward when I say, oh, well, I talk about rape, domestic violence, bullying, sexual harassment. And so all of those violences come together as power-based personal violence. So that's what I speak out
against. It's quite a powerful elevator pitch, more powerful than anything that I've heard in the past. But Carly, this is unlike many speakers that talk about they're trained public speakers where they talk about something that perhaps they were trained on. For you, this isn't training. This is very, very personal. Let's talk about your story, why you're here in studio with today, and why you've gone all over the country talking about these very, very critical issues.
Absolutely. So I always start my story when people ask me, like you've mentioned, how I got involved with this. Well, I lived it. And not only did I live these traumas, so did many of my friends, family members. And so I first started my career right outside of college in marketing and advertising. And I worked for a small business, and we worked on this really big client project where we were photoshopping women. And my whole undergrad experience was empowerment, and it was activism, and we were spending thousands of dollars on this work. And then Sandy Hook occurred. And I remember crying in the bathroom because my freshman year in college, I went to Northern Illinois University where a shooting took place. And 5 students were killed, including my friend Gail. And I came from this small farm town where nothing bad happened. And I went off to college, and it was one trauma after another. I had just broken off an abusive relationship. This gunman comes into our campus, takes away these lives. And so I left college, and I'm in this field, this job of marketing, and I didn't know what to do next. And so I took a completely different turn in my career. I started working at a rape crisis center, and I started as an advocate, working with victims in the hospitals, on the hotlines, and my favorite part was as an educator. And so I was educating from preschool to adults, doing training programs for military, hospital, huge businesses, small organizations. But what I found when I was out speaking and educating was that people wanted to hear from real life survivors. And in this role, I couldn't share my stories. So I decided to take a risk, and I quit my job, and I started
you
my
went
own
all
business.
Out.
Oh, yeah, all out.
All out. And we'll talk some more about your story in a moment, because it really is an interesting one. And I know And of course, we'll share your website, but I know on your website, you break it down into different parts of your life and sort of how it's led to this point. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's talk about what you're doing now. Talk about some of your recent talks. I know you had a TED Talk. I know you've had a number of instances where you've inspired people. Tell us a little bit about some of the reach that you've had, and maybe even share perhaps, and I know this might be an interesting term, but a success story. I know every person that you talk to that's able to listen, really, really listen to your story, it is a success story because somebody that's motivated not just to know the signs, but to actually do something and be an advocate. But I'm curious what perhaps comes back where you might have had somebody that may have contacted you and said, wow, you did it.
Absolutely. So I gave a TEDx talk in April of last year entitled, I Pooped My Pants. And so one of the biggest things that sets me apart from a lot of speakers and educators in this field is that I use that humor and storytelling. And so I shared a story of when I pooped my pants in high school, but I compared it to being a survivor. I did things during my traumas that were stupid, things that instead of asking for help, I was so embarrassed. And so I internalized these traumas. And so when
I'm sure you get a lot of giggles with that one.
Absolutely. And so that's why the middle school and high school students, college students love it. But also when I'm doing business trainings, I do a lot of business trainings. How many sexual assault trainings have you taken? And you sit in front of a computer screen or you watch this movie and you're like, this is awful, boring, I hate this. So I come in and I say, all right, let's talk about something that's uncomfortable, but let's do it in a fun way. Here's my story.
That's awesome.
And so one of the greatest things is that when we look at prevention education and prevention training, which what I do, I have people reach out to me daily sharing their stories with me. And it's amazing when a young girl comes to me and says, Carly, thank you, because I don't know. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know this, you know, was happening, and it's okay for me to speak out and get help. But what's more incredible is when I go to a high school and I do a program and I have a male student come up to me and say, I've kind of been pressuring my girlfriend to have sex with me, or I've gone to trainings with businesses, and I had a male once come up to me and said, you know, I've been sexually harassing my coworkers.
Wow. And those are the moments that,
exactly,
that probably make you cry a little bit, but
yep,
but make it all worth it, because
exactly,
it means you may have stopped something. You may have changed many people's lives, actually.
Exactly.
So more about that in just a few moments when we continue hearing Carly Johnson's story. Again, the inspiration behind the TEDx talk, I Poop My Pants. And that's for real. That's not a typo. That's not my faux pas, as I may tend to do here on the air. Indeed, Carly Johnson is here with us in studio. Fascinating story, inspirational story. And we'll continue hearing more about it, as well as find ways to stay in touch with Carly in just a moment. We'll be right back. You are listening to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. We broadcast from the beautiful WIND studios here in Elk Grove Village, the beautiful studio where the conversation between the breaks is about hashtag pooped our pants. That's for real. That's the conversation that was going on during our break. So once again, we are joined by Carly Johnson, the inspirational messenger of the TED Talk, I Pooped My Pants, and you are doing something very, very inspiring, moving forward in a world without power-based violence by speaking out, sharing our stories so more victims have the courage to come forward, get the support and justice they deserve. A truly inspirational message. Carly, we were talking before the break a little bit about some of the things you've been doing to make a difference. In fact, some of the people that you've inspired. But let's go back to your story. What kind of kid were you?
Oh, I was the kid that, I mean, people ask me, you know, how'd you get involved with public speaking? Well, I was the theater performance, mom, sit down, I'm going to sing in front of you. Really just friendly, if you can tell.
But you were a kid like everybody else. And
absolutely,
then over time, something started happening, probably something that many of us have faced. I know I have,
mm-hmm,
certainly, the B word.
Bullying. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so what's funny with bullying is that I was actually in a grade school and I had a teacher come up to me and she was like, oh, you're the one that does the bullying programs. And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Meaning you don't do the bullying?
Like, no. Okay. And that's what everyone says when I say to people, yeah, I teach on bullying. And they're like, oh,
that's bad.
Right? Yeah, don't do it. But this teacher came up to me and I was like, yes, we do bullying programs. And she asked, you know, do you do them for teachers? And I said, absolutely. We do trainings for teachers, how to see the signs if a student comes to. And she's like, no, 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 honey, I'm being bullied by other teachers. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. How many of you have experienced workplace bullying?
In the workplace.
Exactly.
So you had it as a kid. Certainly many of our listeners are listening and we could all relate. We've all had some point of that experience having it in school, but also domestic violence is something that I know you're passionate about because you've experienced it.
Exactly. And when we think of domestic violence, we think of physical. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Someone beating someone, hitting someone, punching someone down. We think of an angry drunk man typically as that abuser. Anyone can be a domestic violence or dating violence abuser. And so for me, I dated someone for a long period of time. And even my very first relationship had bits of that abuse in it. And I didn't realize it because I was never hit. But I was called names. I was told I couldn't do things. I was controlled. And what I always tell during my presentations is that, do you think that the minute he asked me to be his girlfriend, and do you think he said, oh, well, you're going to give me your Facebook password, and you're not going to hang out with guys anymore, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, do you think I would have been like, okay, great? No, right? It happens over a period of time.
Carly, as a messenger of again anti-bullying programs, anti-domestic violence, all sorts of violence, but are really important issues. And of course, we'll share your website. A lot of people contact you. A lot of people are sharing their stories. Is there ever a moment, Carly, where you hear too many people's stories and you just sort of break down and say, I can't do this anymore. It's too much.
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that, I don't get, but the thing is, I don't get sick of it. It's just, it's a lot to take on other people's traumas. And so something that in this field, vicarious trauma is something that people can experience, the trauma of others. And that was actually experienced something that happened to me in college where I was an RA. One of my residents came forward with her sexual abuse and I tried to take it on and I tried to do so much and tried to help her. But that's a big thing that I also teach on is that we all know a family member, whether you know it or not. I had a very close family member come forward to me and say they were abused as a child. And I had no idea because we don't want to talk about these things. And so that's one of the things that I really kind of speak out against, too, is that there are professional services all over the country that are free. So I love it. Absolutely love it when people share my stories. But I can't do everything for everyone.
That's right. And Carly, something interesting is on your website, you break down your story into different parts of your life, which I think makes it very realistic and understandable to people. They understand early, a typical early childhood, a typical, high school, a typical, perhaps what might be typical. And this is not a good thing that unfortunately a domestic bullying, domestic violence situation. And that makes it that much more understandable. So we'll share your website. But Carly, I have to say your website, the graphics on your website are hysterical. And I encourage our listeners for that reason alone, take a peek because they are funny. So kudos to whoever did your website. Great job.
Lydia Jean. Yep, she's fantastic.
Wonderful, wonderful. So Carly, you speak all over the country. You've done a number of presentations on all sorts of different topics. You mentioned many of them. How can our listeners learn more if they want to hear your story, find a way to connect with you, and perhaps facilitate a time to have you come out and speak?
Absolutely. So stay updated on my website, which is Carly, K-A-R-L-I, Johnson.com. Also, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Miss Carly Johnson. But also, too, if one of the biggest things I do as a radio show for small businesses, one of my newest passions is speaking to small businesses, doing trainings, doing workshops, things like that. Because, and again, let's have fun talking about
any things. Group too big or too small?
Absolutely. I've presented in front of thousands. I've presented in front of two.
See, when you're passionate about something, there's no time to sleep at night because there's so many people to spread this message, and this is indeed a very important message. I feel like all of our guests today, so many interesting stories. Mike Lawson, Sean Stammer, and Carly Johnson. Check out Carly's website, carlyjohnson.com. You can find ways to contact Carly and find an opportunity to have you come on and speak. Carly, thanks so much for joining us here in the studio.
Thanks again.
Absolutely. So coming up after the break, I've got your business tip of the week, which can be heard daily on the morning show at 7:30 a.m. right here on AM 560 The Answer. But we'll be sharing some tips, advice, and information for all you small business owners, job seekers too. If you don't want to miss it, we'll be right back after this quick break. Thanks, Carly, again. Hey, small business owners, I want to talk to you about how to turn those frowns upside down. I want to talk about eliminating negativity in the workplace. You're listening to Get Down to Business. We are powered by our good friends at Tandem HR, your solution center. You can find them online, tandemhr.com, or give them a call, 630-928-0510. And speaking of tandemhr.com, they have a number of fantastic resources and blogs, and I actually want to share some tips that their team taught me this week. Eliminating workplace negativity can actually greatly impact morale, and leadership managers and your HR department should all pay attention to keep a pulse on the morale, the negativity levels in the workplace. A single employee or group of employees upset about any number of things can spread negativity all around the workplace like wildfire. And whether you're aware with whom and why negativity begins, you actually have a much higher chance of nipping it in the bud if you pay attention to it early, and it will actually affect productivity. So number one is consistent messaging and actions. Uncertainty can instill fear and lead to negativity in the workplace. Create a communication strategy that allows all employees to hear about company news in a timely and efficient manner. And that will help you improve your communication process. And you want to treat all employees fairly. Much like we despise teachers' pets in school, employees are not keen on management playing favorites. Managers are human, so it's natural for some people's personalities to click better or faster than others. Management just needs to be extra careful to treat all employees the same regardless. Favoritism leads to spite and anger. And you certainly want to provide opportunities. Employees thrive when they have opportunities to learn and grow in areas that they display passion. They'll have a more positive approach when their voice is heard and they feel that their work is making an impact on the bigger picture. So even organizations that are diligent in all three of these areas may still experience negativity in the workplace. And these four I's will help you positively deal with those issues. Number one is identify. Identify the culprit. What is the source of the negativity? Number two, investigate. Have a direct conversation to figure out the root cause of the negative talk or behavior. Listen to the employee carefully with an open mind. Information influence. Make the offender, whatever the root of the cause, aware of the unacceptable talk or behavior and how it's impacting the business or those around them. If you classify it as a personality trait, the employee just might need some direction. So if you find negativity overcoming your workplace, it might be time to take a step back, identify ways that you can positively impact your company culture, and our friends at Tandem HR can help. Check them out, tandemhr.com. Give them a call. I'm sure they will give you a free consultation, 630-928-0510. So we've got about a minute remaining, and I want to share with you what cakes and phone calls have in common. That's right. This is for all of you small business owners, job seekers. It doesn't really matter where you are professionally. Everybody's on the phone. As with phone calls, my first step when I bake is preparation. When I choose a recipe, I consider who I'll be serving as well as the occasion. So indeed, you want to sort of clear your workspace, focus on the baking or the phone calls, figure out who you are talking to and prepare. As I always say, don't play it by ear. Make sure you actually have notes and thoughts. It will actually allow you to give your full attention to the task at hand and allow you to talk about what's happening in the moment, to focus on what's happening in the moment. And you have to practice, practice, practice. That means that even if you made the cake, the brownie, the cookie a million times before, and you had that recipe in your family for generations, sometimes you have to tweak the ingredients to make it a better cake with a deeper flavor. You can make that cake with confidence and bring it to our birthday party knowing it will be enjoyed by everyone. This is how you get better at anything, especially phone calls. One phone call a day, a week, a month doesn't bring you confidence or hone your skills or expand your knowledge of how to create great conversations with customers, prospects, or frankly, anybody who you're networking with. Everyone we want to do well demands our time, our attention, and repetition. So keep that in mind as you conduct your phone calls, your meetings, whatever the case may be this week. Fantastic lineup of guests this week. I encourage you to check out my website, shalomkline.com. Follow me on Twitter. I'll be posting podcasts from all of our conversations with Mike Lawson, Sean Stammer, Carly Johnson. Great conversations. ShalomKline.com. Check out our sponsors, TandemHR.com, 630-928-0510. To success, let's get down to business. We'll talk to you next week.